everyone, Kenton's Wild here with Wild Child, and welcome back to my podcast. The life of an aerialist is truly a fascinating endeavor, one that I don't think a lot of people realize. I started my aerial journey about 2 years ago, roughly, and I basically just saw something online of this person doing silks in their barn, and I'm like, you know what? I want to try that, because most people would look at that and go, wow, I could never do that. And I was just like, you know what? That looks badass. Let's do it. And so I tied some bed sheets to a tree and was like, well, let's try and do silks. Let's see how good I am at this. And well, my knot to the bed sheets just did not hold at all. And I came crashing to the ground and was like, well, damn, that went well. And then at my next paycheck, I ended up buying my own pair of silks. And then I went from the silks to the lever hoop, and then from the lever hoop to the straps. And I kind of really like the lever hoop most out of all of them. But I still do the others on occasion and do plan on getting better at those other ones. I just got into my accident and things were kind of put on hold for a little bit. But anyway, and so I started doing these aerial silks from the tree and realized, shit, these aren't long enough, or my tree isn't high enough, technically, to be able to do some of these stunts that I see online. And so then I was like, well, let's go to the hoop. And so I did the hoop, and I realized that would kind of fit for a lot more of the heights that I was able to hang it from, because, you know, I would hang it from a tree, or I would hang it from the rafters in a barn that I was working at, or hang it just off of a fucking overhang that was in the middle of nowhere. So the hoop was definitely a better height for me, I found, just from the place that I was able to hang it and rig it up to, because I didn't do like a professional rigging at all. It was very much so just, oh, where can I hang this from that will help me be able to do these stunts and practice these, because it's so much fun and I really like it. And so then I've kind of just been doing the hoop more than anything else. Again, I do plan on getting better at the silks and the straps and all that stuff later on. I just need to find a better place to rig it. The one thing I've realized that people don't notice about being an aerialist is that your body hurts, right? Like, it looks super awesome, super fancy when people are doing all of these wonderful stunts, but your body hurts. Like, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, your body's aching, right? You're gonna walk into work looking like you just got hit by a truck and everyone's all, what happened? And I'm all, I just had a really good session on my hoop and it was so much fun and so painful and I loved it. And that's just how it is, you know. And the people who have decided to be an aerialist and do this professionally or for a career, they're badass motherfuckers. Forgive my French, but it's true, because like, it literally hurts your body to do anything. It doesn't matter how much you stretch or whatever. You'll get bumps, bruises, scrapes, everything. Especially when you're doing things like silks, right? Those silks are going to hurt your hands. There's specific lotions and grips and stuff just for aerialists, so that when you are doing these things, that, you know, when your hands get the blisters, it's easier to hold on despite the blisters and the things that happen, right? Or the bruises on your legs, you know, oh my God, you can get a lot of those just from doing aerial stunts. And it's truly fascinating to see how every aerialist I've met has very high pain tolerance, to the point some of them even like pain. I am one of those people, you know. And to most people, you know, they get a paper cut or something, like, oh, that hurt. Or, you know, they get a bruise and like, ooh, that really hurt. How I got that. And meanwhile, we just get bumps and bruises and scrapes that we don't even really know where they come from. You know, I've experienced that in the horse world too. We just get a bunch of wounds that we don't really know how they happened. They just showed up. And then we continue to, do all of these stunts despite the pain and work through the pain. You know, I knew an aerialist a while back who ended up dislocating her foot, and a week later she was back on her silks, doing all kinds of crazy stunts again. And her doctor didn't like it, but she was doing it anyway. And there's just a whole new level of pain to aerial stunts that I don't think a lot of people realize until they start doing it. And then you realize, damn, this isn't for whims. You know, it hurts every single time we do a stunt, every time we do a drop. You know, it puts a lot of pressure and a lot of just stuff on our muscles, on our joints, that, you know, our body really isn't supposed to bend in the crazy or ridiculous ways that we tend to do it for the sake of performing. But it's truly fascinating just knowing the pain factor of it and how many people can just go out there in these shows and do this professionally and still make it look perfect, still make it look painless, effortless, because they just do it. You know, it's what they love. But yeah, it's crazy knowing just how fluid people can make their motions, knowing how much pain goes along with it. One very common question I get is why. You know, a lot of people are like, well, if there is so much pain involved in it, what possesses you to go and literally hang from these silks 40 feet in the fucking air just for fun? Or what possesses you to spin around super duper fast on a metal hoop knowing you could fall and die right then and there? And to be honest with you, adrenaline's a big part of it. You know, if you like the adrenaline rush, I am very much so an adrenaline junkie. I love it. And so that adrenaline rush, forgive my language, makes you feel alive, right? It kind of brings you to life. Another thing that I have found with doing all of the aerial stunts is that it helps a lot with my mental health. It's played a huge factor in my addiction recovery, in my trauma recovery, just in my healing journey in general. And I know that that might sound weird, but think of it this way. When you are on your hoop doing all of these crazy stunts, or you're on your silks doing all these stunts, or whatever you're on, you have to really think about every single thing you're doing. You have to be aware of your body, your hand placement, your feet, your balance, your muscles, your everything. You have to be so aware of what you were doing physically that it kind of pulls you out of your head a lot, right? So if you are somebody who struggles with mental illness, you might understand that your brain is constantly going a million miles a minute. I am diagnosed with bipolar. I used to be a raging heroin addict because I had endured quite a bit of trauma in my early adolescence. And, you know, so then I was just like constantly up in my head and coping in unhealthy ways. And while doing certain things like these aerial stunts gets you out of your head for a moment, forces you to kind of focus on things elsewhere. And on top of that, doing all of these physical workouts and all of this stuff, it releases certain chemicals in the brain. And that's something a lot of people don't realize too. Why, you know, when you are struggling, some people might be like, oh, well, go work out, go for a run. Or in my case, go and do aerial stunts. Is that it does release certain chemicals in the brain that can help balance things out, right? It can help you when you are feeling depressed, when you are feeling suicidal. It can help you just because those chemicals, that's what depression is. It's a chemical imbalance. And being able to do things like physical labor can help with that imbalance as well. And just release other chemicals that make you feel happier, right? And so, you know, that's one thing. Adrenaline, it gets you out of your head. And on top of that, sometimes it's just fun. You know, some people do it for the pain. I am also kind of one of those people, you know, because I used to be huge into self-harm as well. And so having that pain factor kind of helps a little bit because it's a healthy type of pain. But on top of that, too, it's very much just, it's fun, it's exciting. You know, and if it helps make you feel alive, then it helps make you feel alive. And at the end of the day, you know, I'd much rather, you know, be doing aerial stunts than sitting on my couch watching TV or resulting to unhealthy coping mechanisms as the result of a mental illness. I will fully admit that one thing I thoroughly enjoy about being an aerialist is the conversations that I have with the general public. You know, I am by no means a professional aerialist. I am self-taught. While I have done a few small shows, I'm in no way, shape, or form able to do something like they do in Cirque du Soleil, Cavalli, or any of that stuff, right? And so one of the things that I used to do for practice is I would hook my hoop up to a bridge. This was before I had an at-home aerial set up. And so I would just find a bridge that seemed like it was a pretty decent height and hook it up and practice. And so, you know, sometimes I'd have coworkers be like, oh, well, what are your plans for after work, Kens? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go jump off a bridge. And then they look at me with this most horrified look ever. And dark humor is how I cope, right? It's just how I live. It's who I am. And so they'd look at me with the most dumbfounded look ever. And they're like, are you okay, Kenzie? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then I go to explain that I'm an aerialist. And then it all makes a lot more sense to them. It's not just like, oh, she's not doing okay mentally. Or like, for example, with my therapist a couple weeks ago, right? She's like, well, Mackenzie, you've decided that you don't want to go back to training horses, right? In the next few years, realistically, I will be physically able to return to training horses. Just never to the extent that I was, which is fine. You know, and so I just decided that I don't want to go back to that career just because it's an incredibly difficult industry and I just don't want to. And so she's like, what are your plans for the next 5 years? And I looked her dead in the face and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pay off all my debt, pay off my land, pay off my house, all the credit cards I had to open when I was up to my eyeballs in medical bills. And then I'm going to go run away and join the circus. And she looks me dead in the face and she's all, well, Mackenzie, no, I mean like real plans. I'm like, oh, well, let me add into that. I'm going to save up to buy a super nice truck and a living quarters horse trailer. And then I'm going to go run away and join the circus. And, you know, in her mind, she's all, Kenzie, you need to grow the fuck up. And this fantasy of running away is just not smart. And to me, I'm like, you know what? It's perfect. You know, people have done it. There are so many different circuses out there. And if I can turn my horses into this wonderful Liberty team, trick riding, Roman riding, all this fun stuff, which I know how to do it, I just have to actually do it, and then, you know, all my aerial stunts and my foot archery and all this crazy stuff, I'm like, you know, I could go realistically run away and join the circus after giving myself several years to practice, maybe get some actual coaching and stuff like that. And to her, she's just like, yeah, that's totally unrealistic. And most of the general public sees that as an unrealistic goal as well. And then they start seeing like all of my posts and stuff and like, whoa, you're actually somewhat decent at what you do. Maybe you could run away and join the circus, you know, but then some people too, they just don't see it as a career. Another common conversation is just people like, well, what possessed you? And as I already discussed, you know, it's a lot of things. Or, you know, I love how people can sometimes be like, oh, I could never do that. Like, I don't know how you can be so flexible and all of this stuff. And to me, I'm just one of those people where like, if you believe it, you can do it, right? You can accomplish it. And so many people just see it and like, I could never do that. Whereas you should actually sometimes, if you are actually inspired by it or want to try it, you should actually just try it instead of just dismissing it. You know, but most people don't like that mindset anyway. So, you know, whatever it works or whatever works. But the conversations that you tend to have with the general public as an aerialist are just absolutely phenomenal sometimes. You know, they're like, oh my God, how'd you get all your muscles? You're a female. And I'm like, it doesn't matter if I'm a female. I work out every single day doing stuff that my body was just not meant to do. So, to be honest with you, I really do love every aspect of being an aerialist. I love the adrenaline rush. I love the pain. I love the creativity of it all. I really love being an aerialist. And if you're somebody who wants to potentially become an aerialist, I highly recommend you get the guidance of a professional. I can't really say much because I am self-taught, but make sure you have the proper equipment. You're learning how to rig it all up correctly. You're learning how to do things correctly. And always make sure that safety is first priority, right? You know, after my accident, I didn't do aerial stunts for quite some time. And then, you know, as I started to recover and get better and get out of the wheelchair and have better hand-eye coordination and all that stuff again, I started getting back into it. You know, and my neurologist, you know, has practically a fucking heart attack every time I do it, because she's like, if you're not going to train horses, but you're going to go do aerial stunts. And I'm like, there's different sides of it. You know, there's the emotional turmoil that came with training horses, and the drama and the chaos of people. Well, you know, so it's one of those things too, like if you do have a medical issue, please speak to your doctor before you do something like this, because it is incredibly dangerous, the things that we do. We do stunts 40, 50 feet in the air. We just do a bunch of crazy stuff as an aerialist. And so you always have to make sure as well that your doctor is able to clear you for such things. You know, like I said, after my accident, I didn't do it for quite some time. And I finally got clear to start doing it slowly and little by little. And now I'm doing it pretty much every day now. But take it slow, be safe, you know, start your equipment up at a super low height so that you don't fall and hurt yourself. But just be careful. So that's kind of what I recommend. I hope you guys all enjoyed this podcast episode. Please don't forget that if you would like me to touch upon a certain topic, you know, if you have something that you want me to talk about, just anything in general, opinions, recommendations, things you like or dislike about this podcast, please, please, please reach out. I make all of this content specifically for the world. You know, I want to inspire people, help people, make people laugh, stuff like that. So if there's anything I can do to continue helping people do that, please reach out and let me know. I will not be offended. Don't forget to check me out on Facebook, Instagram, my podcast, obviously, my YouTube. And with that being said, I hope you all have a fantastic, amazing, wonderful rest of your day. Stay strong, stay true, and stay wild.